start with a general introduction, because we will hit a more biological problem now. So in general, we know that the soil and plants respire a lot of, or take up a lot of CO2 from the atmosphere and release CO2 in the atmosphere. And the soil is the largest pool, which respires 50 to 60 gigatons per year. And we know that these fluxes will be mainly controlled by the soil moisture and soil temperature, because these two variables trigger the decomposition of the plant material and the release of CO2 to the atmosphere. So in a changing climate, we will have changes in soil moisture and soil temperature, and therefore changes in the decomposition rate and changes in the net fluxes. So if we want to predict CO2 fluxes for future production or predictions, or just to analyze our measurements, we have to have a mathematical description for soil moisture and soil temperature influences on the decomposition. This will be mainly done by using batch experiments, which might be problematic in interpretation, because the system itself might bias the data. They are time consuming and labor intensive. So therefore we choose an alternative setup, and the aims was that we want to measure and model the impacts of soil water content changes on the CO2 production. And therefore we need a system where we can characterize directly the hydraulic properties using inverse simulation, and we want to estimate the carbon turnover rates also by using inverse simulation, and the control parameters for the water reduction function, because we believe that the reduction functions given in literature or implemented in the codes should be calibrated to the environment, to the soils we use. Therefore, we choose an experimental setup. It's a soil column experiment where we can perform multi-step outflow experiments by applying defined pressure steps at the lower boundary, and we measure all the state variables we have to know: soil water content, temperature, metric potential, oxygen, and CO2 concentration. We measure the CO2 efflux at the soil surface, and for sure we measure the outflow at the lower boundary. So that's how it looks like. We have a column 30 centimeters in length, 20 centimeters in diameter, and we get all the sensor installed in the column. We fill down the column with a sandy soil and with a TOC content of 0.8%, and we have a lower, the lower boundary we have a porous plate where we can apply suction, and we measure the outflow permanently. As I said before, we will use inverse simulation, therefore we need a model. In general, we have biological models which are more or less zero-dimensionless. We choose this biological ROT-C pool concept and just take out the pool concept from the model. And the advantage is that we get measurable C pools. And the disadvantage is that it is zero-dimensionless, and there's no description of the CO2 heat and water transport, and the decomposition of the pools is first order kinetics. So it works like this: we have a plant input and we split it up into different pools, the DPM, which is a faster pool, and the RPM, which is a slower pool, and we have a kind of reaction chain to the different other pools, and CO2 will be released by the decomposition. So we plugged in this source term into the soil CO2 code from Jukka Simonek, which is naturally physically based for the CO2 heat and water transport by these governing equations, and therefore we have a discretized source term by triggering this reaction chain by the water content, temperature, and CO2 concentration for each node in depth. As I said before, we can measure the sea pool sizes by a method proposed by Skjemstad. So we measure TOC, and the fraction in the sieve smaller than 53 micrometers, and these will be attributed to the IOM and humus fraction, and the RPM fraction or RPM pool is fraction 53 to 200 micrometers, and the EOM fraction, which is the inert fraction or pool, will be calculated by Pitot transfer function proposed by Falloon. We assume there's no DPM in the soil because this will be fed only by fresh plant material, and the probe was collected in winter, so we don't have any fresh material in the soil. And for the beginning, we choose rate constants, which were given in the ROTC model. For the parameter estimation, I think everyone is familiar, so I don't have to go on to this figure. We used the shuffle complex evolution method, and we performed two multi-step outflow experiments. Once, the first one was to estimate the hydraulic properties, and therefore we covered the top end of the column because we didn't want to have atmospheric condition in evaporation. And then we performed the second one to estimate the production parameters, and therefore we have to open up the top end and measure CO2 release, but we will have evaporation. So this is the results of the first experiment. We applied different pressure steps, and this is the cumulative outflow of the system as a response of the pressure steps, and we fitted the hydraulic parameters on the outflow and the tensiometer readings. We got this set of parameters, and you can see there's a misfit over here in the wet range, which is quite common, but I will go on this later and see. We will see the problems causing this misfit in the wet range. So, for the second multi-step outflow experiment, we used the hydraulic properties estimated from the first experiment. We estimated the potential evaporation rate by a set of Monte Carlo simulations where we minimized the misfit on the outflow and tensiometer data on the second MSO experiment. We applied the pressure steps at the lower boundary, and we took the soil temperatures during the course of the experiment measured in the column. We initialized the system by the measured sea pool sizes, the rate constants from literature, and the initial CO2 concentrations, which were measured by the CO2 sensors, and matrix potential was taken from hydrostatic equilibrium, as in the first case. And we'll go on, and I will show that we estimate the rate constants, and there's a mistake over here, it's just DPM, and the control parameters for the soil water reduction function. So that's how it looks like. Again, we applied pressure steps on the lower boundary, and we got the system response in terms of cumulative outflow of water. And this is the outflow of CO2 at the top end, and these are the instantaneous values, and this is the cumulative amount of CO2 or CO2 efflux. And we can see slight variations in the amount of producted CO2 and the fluxes. And we see a peak and a decline in the fluxes. Now I have to hurry up a little bit. From literature, you can assign three stages. These low stages is due to high CO2 concentration and poor aeration. Then you get optimal conditions and a reduction in the CO2 efflux due to the soil water reduction. Okay, head on. So in the first model run, I used the default values and the fixed sea pool rates from the ROTC and the default values given in the soil CO2 code for the soil moisture reduction parameters. And I ran a forward run of the model, and here we can see the modeled results and the measured results in terms of instantaneous and cumulative outflow, and we can see that there's a huge divergence between model and data. Therefore, I started to optimize the control parameters. This is the original formulation, and here we got the two soil water content control parameters, and we optimized this pool, this RPM pool, because this pool mainly contributes to the CO2 flux. So the first optimization was just to optimize the soil moisture control parameters, HB1 and HB2, and we can see that we match our results quite well, especially in cumulative outflow. Over here we seem to have some problems. This is still to the uncertainties in the wet range of the hydraulic properties, but the results indicate that the water reduction will start at water contents of 98% water filled pore space, and this is not really likely. If we look in literature, this should be around 30 to 40%, and this control parameter was set to nearly 5 centimeters. So the second parameter shows this high value, which is quite common, and the RPM rate constant was not fitted. So due to this fact that this is not really likely, we started to fit as well the rate constant of the RPM pool, and again we matched the results quite well. In instantaneous fluxes also as in cumulative fluxes, and now we get a HB1 value of around about 70%, which is corresponds to 28% water filled pore space, and this is in good agreement to literature. So we also looked up if we have a correlation between the parameters. We fitted the control parameter and the rate constant, and therefore we run 10,000 model runs and plotted the parameter space. We can clearly detect a global minimum, which is over here, but we have a deep value over the whole range of control parameters ranging from 1,000 to 0. This means that the RPM rate constant is a more sensitive parameter in this parameter space, and if we fix up this parameter over here somewhere, we can still get relatively good results if we change the control parameter for the soil water reduction function. So summarizing, the hydraulic properties can be estimated by the experiment, but we will repeat, or at the moment we repeat the same experiment for more precisely estimation of the hydraulic properties. The simulation with the default ROT-C RPM rate constant and default soil moisture control parameters did not match the measured CO2e flux. The simulation with the default ROT-C RPM rate constant and the optimized soil moisture control parameters matched the efflux, but the parameter was too low with minus 5 centimeter, and no optimal moisture content is reached at any time. So the simulation with the optimized RPM rate constant and the optimized soil moisture control parameter matched the CO2 efflux. The moisture reduction will start after a certain period of optimal condition at a soil moisture content of about 0.118 cubic centimeters per cubic centimeter, and this is around about 28% water-filled pore space. The RPM rate constant is the most sensitive parameter, and a clear optimum is visible in the parameter space. And the changes in the HB1 control parameter will also lead to acceptable results. Okay, and that's it. I will thank you, and I have an announcement also. If you're interested, there will be also a presentation tomorrow in the agronomy session by one of our PhD students, and she will show you how different reduction functions for temperature and moisture will influence the results.
Thank you.